You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Building podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, feared pirate captain of our spaceship that I still can't remember the name to. Joining us today is Alex Raubach, ship's engineer, better known as Anti Grapist. What's going on, Alex?
Hey guys.
Good to hear from you. Also today joining us is Mark Fletcher, better known as Sable Griffin, the ship's cabin boy. Boy, I can't like talk today. What's up, Mark?
Utaku talk, Kelvin.
Yeah, that's right, man. Also joining us is Tyler Tippett, ship's cook, better known as Starslinger72. What's up, Tyler?
Not too much. What's going on, everybody?
Not too much myself. I'm excited to go through some of these points. And then finally joining us is Will Barnacle, better known as misspelled Will Barnacle, the ship's designated driver. What's up, Will?
Hey, not much. I'm not a human popsicle.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, it's been like freezing in the Midwest, like literally like below zero, at least in a couple of days, and I've not been enjoying this whatsoever. No,
hold on. Below to zero does not begin to describe it. It's been negative 40 wind chill, and I hear you ask, do you mean Celsius or Fahrenheit? I mean both.
Yes. Temperature's too cold for penguins.
Well, no, negative 40 is the crossover point.
Right, exactly
the same.
Yep. Man. So Sable's just sitting there listening, going, I'm in Texas, la 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 la.
Well, look, it's like 40 here. It's freezing.
Oh, my God. Oh, ow. All right, so we got a full crew and a lot to talk about, so let's just dive into this. So we're going to get into some news. So we're going to talk about the system open in Phoenix. Tyler went along with Blair, who I believe Blair's off coaching and molding young high school minds in basketball. So I believe he's going to either record something and we're going to copy and paste it into this cast, or we're just going to paste it up later. We'll figure that out. But Tyler went as well as Lyle. So you guys had a grand old time. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a little bit of Vassal League and Aces League. And then obviously we're going to jump into all of the points adjustments. And then if we have time, we can talk about a Fantasy Flight organized play, changing up their tournament structure name again. Which didn't they do that last year? Am I forgetting that? Like it all like rolls together, but I feel like they just did this.
Well, for second edition, they rebooted everything, and now they're rebooting it again.
That's fine. Whatever. You know, change of ownership, they can do whatever they want. And then we're going to get into the list contest. Let's just dive into it, because we got a lot to go through. So, system open. Tyler, I'm going to let you take this off, since you actually went. Yeah, like you guys all went down to... Oh, yeah, and Kaylin went down there, too. So, yeah, ahead and tell us about system open.
The Phoenix System Open was this weekend. It was the last System Open before the points change. So we got one great final tournament with all the busted as crap stuff that we've been playing. And then there was the Hyperspace Qualifier on Sunday. So to really paint the idea, like the whole System Open experience, I left and it was a negative 15 wind chill on Friday to fly from Chicago to Arizona, at which point it was about 65-ish, 70-ish when I got there. Lyle was already there. Blair and Kaylin and the rest of the Canadians that stayed with us in our Airbnb, they got there later. So Lyle and I found a Mexican place and went and got some local tacos, which is pretty awesome. We were able to walk from our house. I was sad our house had a really cool in-ground pool, but it was only like 70, so it was freezing. I was contemplating jumping.
However did you survive? That 70 degree.
Wanted to swim so bad, and it was, I got there and I stuck my hand in, and I was like, nope, okay, I can't. That's too much. So, Saturday was the main event. It was a really well run event. Ian always does an awesome job. A lot of fun. I had two quick wins and then I had a really tight loss. You can go check it out on Gold Squadron stream. It was, I was running Kylo Quick Draw Null. I think I kind of talked about it on the last stream, or if not here, I talked about it on OCX's, podcast last week. That sounds right. And, it did what it was supposed to. It flew well. I enjoyed it, but I had a really tight loss against a Sloan Swarm. So a bunch of Academy pilots and Sloan and a Reaper. And then I had just a terrible loss to a four-ship rebel swarm or a four-ship rebel list where I got in position and was doing well, and Quickdraw decided that he was not going to roll hits that game. And with effectively only a two-ship list, if one of your ships isn't actually hitting things, it was a bad game. So that knocked me out. Then in the hyperspace, I got a quick win on Sunday. And then I feel like I lost in the second or third game. But I was also trying to, like, the entire hyperspace event, I wasn't really like focused because I was trying to change my flight to fly back on Sunday night instead of Monday, because apparently we only had the Airbnb through Sunday, not through Saturday or not through Monday, like I thought. And there was a blizzard going on in, Chicago on Monday. And so American had like messaged me and said I could change my flight for free if I could fly on a different day. So I was able to do that and got home Sunday night late. And I think I got to Peoria at like 4 a.m. on Monday morning.
But did you work that day?
No, I thought about it because like I had it off because I was supposed to fly in like midday, like Monday. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll get back by midnight. And it's just like a 2.5 hour drive. It's not that bad. Well, by the time I got out to my car and then drove through the blizzard that had started, like we landed, like the blizzard had just started and we got in. And so it took me like 4 hours to drive home. And I was so exhausted at that point that I just crashed until like 2 p.m. the next day. But the whole event was awesome. Check out a lot of the Gold Squadron stream games. Ryan Farmer from Minock did really well. He was running Quad Juke Phantoms.
Yeah, yeah. So isn't it hilarious? Okay, so I do want to talk about this real quick, about how FFG apparently didn't know who won and claimed that he had won.
Yep, sure did. Yeah. That's been pretty good meme status the last 2 days, so I like that. There's a video floating around there now that is saying that Phil Booth, who did win, congratulations Phil, reached across the table to handshake first, which means he must have been conceding. So yeah. But it was a great event overall. Phoenix was a lot of fun. I wish I would have got to see more of Phoenix, but you know, the area that I was in was pretty cool. Had a lot of like their event center, civic center thing is like right next to a bunch of like mom and pop shops that are like artisan ice cream, and there was like an artisan oatmeal cookie shop kind of a thing. So that was all cool.
Bougie.
Yeah, it was just like neat to just kind of walk around when I had some free time, and because it was 70 degrees out, right? I was like, yeah, all right, it's t-shirt weather, let's go walk around for a little while.
Right on. So because we'll let Blair either talk about it through his recording or whatever, but what did Lyle and Kaelin run?
Kaelin was running Resistance, so he was running like Poe, Nien, and probably Lulo, I feel like. I'm not 100% certain on his list.
Sure.
I think that's right.
And Lyle was running Imperial Shotgun, which is like Redline, Death Rain, the bomber, and then something else.
Jonas, I think.
Yeah, Jonas. That just like has
seems
APT.
Like Jonas would slot
yeah,
it.
Right. APTs and barrage rockets and trajectory simulator and just nonsense everywhere. So he just like drives at things and hits it in the face really, really hard. And most people don't understand it's going to hit that hard. But yeah.
It was, and they both went 3-3, right? If I remember.
Yeah. So, So unlike the other system opens from last year, where you have two pods and you have to go 2-1, and then you have to finish 5-1. So you needed to finish 5-1 to make day two, but you get prize tickets for every game. So even a loss gets you one. If you win, you get two. Right. And, the prize tickets are how you buy stuff like off the prize wall. So they have, I want to say I got like an R2 Astromech and then like a Z95. Like full bleed art, like those were the free handouts. But then you get tickets for playing either in the main event or the hangar bays or the hyperspace event the next day. And those get you, like, that's what you buy, like the cool stuff. So I have a really awesome spot gloss, like see-through quick draw and Nora and the Y-Wing.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, that was my quote swag for the event.
All right, so I figure, like, now we can let Blair's recording just, like, go here. So, sure. For Blair, that was great, Blair. All right, or...
hey, good job.
or we look like morons, whatever. Sounds great. All right, so...
Speaking of Blair, for those of you who may be patrons of the podcast, you should check out Blair's write-up of the event that he posted on Patreon. For subscribers only.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He did say that it's timed out. So like a month from now, anybody can read it, but he did do that. And just in case we don't get his recording in, he did fly like a crazy Rebel Swarm list, like shockingly, and did, and made the cut with it. So congrats to Blair for being insanely good and also insane at the same time. Love it.
Well, let's be real. If Blair's flying B-Wings, you know he has a chance against anything. Even when he shouldn't, he still has a chance against anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, I think that he does a really, really good job of letting people get overconfident and then capitalizing on it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And especially at this point in time, he has the whole, like, people are just like, oh, B-Wings, I don't know what they do. And they're not bad right now. Like, the focus into barrel roll, like that linked action ability is really strong.
Yeah,
it's really nice, and it's about to get better too with these points changes. So
yeah, all right. Just got cheaper.
All right, so let's get into. We're gonna get to that. We got some other news to talk about though. Just to best out of the way, let's start off with Vassal League signups are coming up. Alex, I know you wanted to talk about that. You want to take that up?
Yes, they actually opened like last week, so they're gonna be open for about another week. Sign up right away. And if you want to sign up, just go to List Fortress and click the League button at the top of the page, and it'll take you right there. Easy sign up.
I have a question for you. So this Vassal League, is this going to be extended or hyperspace?
Fun question. I just love recapping this discussion.
I'm sorry. The people want to know, and I'm not 100% sure, actually.
Yeah, so after thinking it over, after talking to people who are interested, we are going to make the format be hyperspace. I think it'll help keep all five factions, soon to be seven, kind of in balance. But, you know, if you're an extended fan, you want to play some extended, you have the option, if your opponent agrees, you can both play extended instead of hyperspace.
So you can it's base hyperspace, but you can both opt in to extend it if you like.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. I wonder how many people are going to end up doing that.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to see how it goes.
You can check it out on listfortress.com if you like to find out and track that. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's been going good, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I wonder if I'm going to sign up for that. And every time I sign up for Vassal League, I have such a hard time scheduling games. Like, I'm already like several games behind in Aces League, and it's like driving me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you don't have to play every game, but most of them is a good thing to shoot for.
Yeah, I'm like 100 a game. I feel like I'm four games behind. So Aces League's been going well. Tyler, you're still in second, right?
No, I'm third, fourth now with that last loss.
Farmer
was ahead of me. It's a weird like set though, right? Because it's
Will, how are you doing right now?
I'm 4-4, and I get Paul this weekend. So have an outside chance at climbing back into contention if I can pull out a win.
All losses, although as it stands right now, I've got a currently open game that with Bun. Thank God. I've been moving the whole like last two, like I'm moving like tomorrow. Actually, I'm recording the podcast. This is dedication on a mobile tethering just to record this podcast with everybody. So I haven't had like internet for days, and this was going to be the week that I was going to try and get a couple of games in. But I'm currently paused in a game with Andrew Bun, and I'm up on points, which means of course I'm going to lose it. But yeah, I might actually get my first win, guys. I can feel it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm currently like tied with Bun for fourth. If Ryan loses, we're all 5-3. So
it's all due to A wings.
You're right.
I'm telling you,
dude. Resistance A wings are so ugh. They should have gone up in the
points. Yeah. You know, it's really funny. Like they are so much better than regular A wings. I feel like it's not even comparable how much better they are. For what is it, two more points offhand?
Yeah. Well, my game against Marcel was a really good, like, view of it where he has five A-wings and I have six TIE fighters and we each have a generic, right? So it's like I get one extra ship, but all of his ships get double actions, can fly by and turn their guns behind them, have shields over hull, so they have like one and a half hit points extra. I was like, this isn't even close. This is dumb.
They have one more. Okay, so every single one of those A-wings compared to regular A-wings, it's the round, the area of fire. Like the one weakness to a swarm is the ability to, you know, like arc dodge, right? Like you can like get out of their way and stuff. It's so much harder when you're effectively flying a turret, right? You are flying a turret.
It's uptime. Yeah. It's shot uptime.
It's just what you're looking at. It takes away so many weaknesses. I agree with you. I mean, I shouldn't like the only game I've done anything good with in the Aces League has been with those A-wings because they're so good. I don't know. Anyway, so let's move on because we got a lot to talk about. Do we want to talk about? Does anybody understand what the heck's going on with organized play? Like they renamed all of the tournament types. Like they're all the same thing, but they renamed the tournament types to like Prime, Ultra, like I'm actually making some of this up, Mega Duper, you know, like Grand Continental, you know, like, is there?
So, yeah, so the way I look at it, they got a new head of organized play. He's coming in. He's changing things up.
They got a new CEO, really, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Christian finally retired. Which means that he's out of the loop. And FFG has been split into two organizations under Asmodee. So there's a lot, there's an upper management change in structure. And then you have a new head of organized play. Because let's be honest, FFG has not been the best organized play company. This can only be a good thing. But yeah, it means that they're going to change some things. Names, honestly, the names are a bit easier rather than the hyperspace crap.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm happy that we got rid of that because there are like four types of hyperspace. Trials, format, and tournament, right?
Yeah, so right now, the new ones, there are three that are just intuitive. Store championships, you know what that is. Continental championships, you know what that is. World championships, you know what that is, just from the name. Then the only two sticky ones are Prime and Grand. If I just walked up to somebody and said there's a Prime championship, they wouldn't know what that means. And if I said there was a Prime and Grand, they wouldn't know which one is you know, more prestigious than
that. But that's the old Prime is regionals and Grand is nationals, right?
Correct. It's something you can learn fairly quickly, and it's a lot easier to understand than the names they tried to give the hyperspace stuff. And I think that was probably what the genesis was, that nobody understood hyperspace, you know, trials versus championship. What is all this? I suspect that was the genesis of this.
I think plus the other part of it is they're also probably trying to make all their tournament structures be the same across all their game lines to try and streamline it for everyone.
Yeah, because now with these names, they can make it for every game they have. Because there's no way you're going to convince me that Hyperspace Trials is thematically appropriate for Game of Thrones.
Aww, well, it wasn't, but they all had different
think
ones,
of
right?
The crossover.
That was the problem. That. Yeah. Yeah, the problem was that every game had its own unique names, and now I have no idea what's going on.
If they advertise it right, I was just kind of looking at the announcement a little bit closer. The icons, for example, in 2019, store championships, basically this little like banner with 19 in it, and then as you go up through the rankings, there's more flair to that 19. So the Prime Championships, there's two little like kind of flare winglets to it. The Grand Championships, there's two big winglets to it. And then Continental Championships, there's like a separated bar on that. And then there's a crown on the World Championships. So if they do the marketing right, it should be a little bit more intuitive, like what level it is, but we'll see how it goes.
This screams that whoever came up with this scheme was military.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it kind of comes off that for sure.
Yeah, so that's interesting, at least to about it.
Yeah, and if you guys have questions about it, like you guys still confused, I would definitely just hang on to those. Keep them for about two and a half weeks, and maybe something will come up where you get an opportunity to get some of those questions answered.
A teaser. Not that putting the fact that Alex is a moderator on Reddit, X-Wing or anything along those lines. Just
unrelated thoughts facts. Up there.
Completely unrelated facts. This is all heresy. Anyways, not hearsay, not heresy. This isn't like this isn't Warhammer. All right. So let's get into it. Let's get into the main topic, right? Like we've been trying to bust through this. Let's talk about some goddamn points adjustments. All right. So the points adjustments came out on Monday, which was 4 days ago, and a lot has changed. They adjusted both extended and hyperspace style. I guess they just adjusted everything, right? And let's go, like, I don't want to go through every single specific change, but let's look at faction by faction, what sort of adjusted big, like, from a high-level perspective and what that means for that faction and lists in that faction. So let's just go ahead and start off with the good guys. Let's start off with the rebels.
You mean scum? The real good guys?
Yeah. The overview is that your list is now bad. Your list is now illegal. And if your list isn't illegal, it wasn't very good, and you are not good at this game.
I take exception to that.
Will's been flying the same. Nothing changed. Actually, how about this? We could talk about the generic stuff first and then go into each faction.
Sure.
All right, so let's talk about it. Generics, things got buffed, specifically barrage rock, or things got nerfed. Barrage rockets were nerfed up a point. Homing missiles went up a point, which I was a little surprised to see homing missiles go up. Ablative plating, which I don't know why that's a generic. The Punisher and SF can take it. Okay, never mind. So that went up. I thought it was really, really, and supernatural reflexes really went up.
Is the interesting one because they changed. It was a fixed number, 12 for everybody, and now it's dependent upon your pilot skill and can vary wildly from 4 to 32, which seems correct to me. But it is definitely interesting that it changed in such a manner.
Yeah, it went down for lower pilot skill and very much higher for higher pilot skills. It's funny, that's something that that style of upgrade cost is something that I know that Major Juggler has been talking about for a long time, and I'm really happy to see that in there. So 32-point Initiative 6 Supernatural Reflexes, that makes it dead on Initiative 6, right? Or am I just losing it? Like, I see 32 points, and I'm like, that's an entire ship for me.
It's so good, Initiative 6. So I think that's the correct point cost, or close to it. But, yeah, it's you really gotta to decide if this is worth taking.
I think that at 5, though, it's still probably worth it at 24.
It is less useful at Initiative 5, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of the stuff that you're trying to dodge is 5 most of the time. That's why you bring 6, is to dodge 5. So if you've got 5 with a bid and supernatural reflex, you're still like in a decent spot.
I think you'll see it on Kylo, because the silencer chassis kind of dropped a little bit, which we'll get to probably here in a minute. But for example, if you put supernatural on Luke now, in that traditional Luke build with, you know, with Torps and R2-D2 or just an R2, he's now over 100 points. That's at a huge, huge premium to pay for that. Now, Luke is solid, and he could be one of the best pieces in the game, but are you really going to take over half of your Rebel list and put it into that? Like, that seems kind of like a dicey strategy to me, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Supernatural on Kylo is still totally worth it.
One of the things that...
Tyler, can you sell me on Initiative 6 Supernatural Reflexes at all?
Nope, not even close.
Okay, good enough.
One of the comments I kind of want to make here was that this is particularly of benefit to newer players. Because, honestly, one of the big problems with Supernatural was... an experienced player has something with Initiative 6 and Supernatural, and a new player walks up to it and just feels like they never had a chance, because now they've got this experienced player that can just, oh, that's what you did? I don't care. I'll counter it. It really created a negative play experience for casual and newer players, far more than us old hands.
Yeah, it changes the game really well too. Like that's so. Like my entire Arizona list was. Let quick draw null, kill some stuff to get up on points, and then Kylo wins the game because you can't catch him. And it's not even like, say, old school, like wave 3 games back in like 1.0, where you're trying to catch Soontar, where you could guess right and you might get a shot at him. Like, we're going to have to go through a token stacker. He probably gets out anyway, but you could guess right. Like, you can't guess right with Kylo, right? Like, I don't care which way you go. I go the other way with a 5-4 boost and a barrel roll.
This was the old school Whisper problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it was, Tyler.
Nah, I mean, it wasn't that bad because Whisper wasn't as fast.
Tyler, but, yeah. Like, and you couldn't sole proprietor of team Old Phantoms were fine.
They were fine. Like, them bringing out Kylo. Kylo's worse than the Old Phantoms were, and we still have it.
I agree.
And it's worth 32 points.
24 on Kylo, thank you. Supernatural Kylo is 100 points exactly, and that feels fine. I kind of want to hammer this for a little bit more too, in with what Sable was saying, that like at Arizona, like there were games where, oh, hey, there's a Boba Fett on the table. Cool. I can kill what it's around Boba Fett and then just leave because I have a bigger bid than you do. So your Boba Fett will never shoot me. Like it's just not going to happen. I win. And there was another game in hyperspace where, I was flying against the final table setup ended up being a 1-hit point Kylo, a 1-hit point quick draw, and then a Nora. And I just bailed quick draw out, and it was just like, and at one point my opponent literally moved Nora and was like, I'm not sure how you're going to F me, but I know you're going to F me, so let's just see what happens. And sure enough, I end up on the side of him, able to target lock for free, and he stress pointed the wrong way.
So let's also talk about, Supernatural Reflexes, like good riddance, for the most part, at least certainly pay for it if you're going to run it. I don't like that card. That's one that bothers me. Let's go on to some other ones though, cause we got a lot to get through. Afterburners and engine upgrade went down. I think that that's for that kind of make up for supernatural reflexes a little bit. At least you're doing it after your move and to help out large base boosters, right?
The afterburners going down is very interesting. Afterburners went down and Vader chassis went down. So mm-hmm. that makes Vader like what, 71 points with just afterburners? Like granted, mm-hmm. you don't have supernatural or anything like that anymore, but like he hits like a truck. So that's not a terrible, you know, third of your list.
So, good.
I was just going to say, and to be fair, like when I initially saw the points for afterburners and I saw 8, it kind of shocked me a little bit. Like I know how powerful it is, but to me it just seemed like a 6-point card. So oddly, in these first point adjustments, it came down. I'm like, oh, okay, that's exactly what Icon, at least in my mind, valued it as well. So I think it's a good price point with 6 now.
So going through the other mods, like, can I ask you guys a question? Why did static discharge go up?
Forlom.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you get into you can generate situations with static discharge vanes and what's the I don't shoot and I shock things? Sable, your favorite card.
Feedback array.
Yeah. So you can do things with feedback and static discharge vanes on Forlom where he gives you an ion and a stress in the same turn repeatedly. So, you know, like, yeah. Because it's like, yeah, think of how that ends up working out, right? Like, sorry, I want to just get the actual card up so I can look at it and make sure I'm talking this through properly. But, like, he takes a damage. So we'll go modification. We'll get there.
Though stress and ion isn't nearly as bad as it used to be since it's slew.
Right. It's not as bad as it used to be. But at the same token, it's unavoidable. Like, you can't do anything about it.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's just one of those, like, he, and that's a 61 point Forlom with those two cards now. So that feels okay, considering he's probably wants a little bit something else in there, like advanced sensors, which also went up.
Yeah, I was about to say, because the sensor slot's the next thing we want to get into. Yeah. Actually, let's just jump into it. Sensors went up, advanced sensors went up too. That seems right. Mm-hmm. That's a good mm-hmm. card. Collision detector went up 1. That seems like I want it to go more. I hate that card.
Yeah.
I hate that card. Trajectory simulator, guys.
Yeah, boy. Not far enough.
Yeah, not far enough.
I want it to be 40. Get rid of that card.
So one of the things that I do like that they did here, and they've done this with a lot of things, like so Supernatural Kylo. Like Kylo went down by 6. So really, it's just a 6-point increase for Supernatural Kylo. That doesn't feel bad. I can bear with that. Your resistance bombers went down in price.
Uh-huh.
So trajectory simulator on resistance bombers is still not bad. Like that's still an understandable price point. And those feel okay to play against. I've never had a trajectory simulator bomber show up and I'm just like, oh, this is miserable. I don't want to even play this game. Punishers went up in price and trajectory simulator went up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the setup where you're just like, this is dumb. Like, because they can reposition, they can change their arcs really well. They can do all that nonsense. That's not something that a BSF can do. So
yeah, I'm happy about this. Yeah.
And the BSF,
get those out.
Like I would be fine if it was BSF only, like just make it only a resistance card. Don't even let Punishers have it.
Yeah. I mean, red line went up 8. We'll get to. Then you've got 7 more for Tragedy Sim, and then 3 more for Proton Torpedoes. Yeah. That's
just like, get that ship out.
Yeah.
Go that's, away. Well,
so that's like the main thing is the Proton Torps that the BSF can't take. So it's just the bombs that's thrown out there.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's a perfect example, Sable, of I was watching the semifinals at Arizona, which was also Phil beating Quad Juke Phantoms.
I thought Phil lost. And,
yeah, I know.
the winner.
So, he lost in the finals, but in the semifinals he wins. But, like, Redline just dies out of, like, on the initial engage. Like dice spiked for the Juke Phantoms, and Redline didn't roll any evades, kind of a deal. Mm. And so I'm sitting there like the entire game. I'm like, man, Phil's down on points. He's down on points. He's got to turn in and fight. No, because Redline's only like 61 points with advanced sensors and proton torpedoes, which is obnoxiously low, right? Like, because I'm doing that, I'm like, oh, wait, no, I was just doing the math wrong because this ship is massively under cost. Okay, cool. Versus now it's like 15 points more expensive or something like that between those three upgrades.
Yeah, I think you're like at 70.
Yeah, you're mid 70s.
Six. Yeah, you're somewhere up where it at least makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about what I think is the most meaningful adjustment for talents. Composure went down by one.
Yeah, that's a really big one.
Okay, composure at zero, I think, is about the right cost.
It has to cost one.
Because right. At zero, you want to include it.
Well, but also at one point, like, man, Ricky, you're missing where composure is really good. Like, your A-wings use composure really well because you can set up target lock focus shots by failing your boost.
Yep.
Ah, sure. I hadn't thought about that.
Yep.
Stealing that. Yeah.
Target lock. Oh, I boost. There's no way you could boost. I know.
Yep, sure isn't. Because, like, I mean, you can do it to yourself, right? Like,
yep.
Your information. Oh, I try to boost forward for the stress. Uh-huh. Looks like I get a focus.
Oh, no. I'm going to steal that for realsies. All right. So, some other a significant talent, like debris granite blown up, that's fine, right? A significant one that I think. I'm trying to decide if one was enough or it should have been more is Juke going from 4 to 5. Juke's a really good card. Yeah. In the situations that you use it, like you don't use Juke unless you can get double mods, like pretty easy.
No, you don't use Juke unless you can get a free evade.
Yeah.
Which, spoiler alert, Sabine went up as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Sabine, Defenders, there's a bunch of ships that can do the double.
Defenders went down. Sigma's sat the same. Shockingly, the list that air quote won Arizona, but actually came in second, and then also was beat in the semis, went to 204.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it? Really, guys? But okay.
So, so that's interesting. Lone Wolf went up to,
the other really interesting one is Squad Leader.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, that's the one that, that I'm really excited for is they are starting to price initiative correctly in that, like, moving last, that free board knowledge is worth so much, and having an extra action, for your entire list after everybody else's ships have gone is it's worth a lot. And when it used to be 4, now for initiative 6, it's 14. And I think that that's really, really interesting. So coordinate, I think is either worthwhile at very, very low pilot skill or very, very high pilot skill. I wonder if they're undercutting how useful it is low, but who can take it at that low pilot skill? That would be, I guess you could give it to an A-wing.
At lower pilot skills?
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying? Well, not null anymore. So you mm-hmm. couldn't pay for it at zero, which would have been hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's different slots. There's initiative mm-hmm. 2. Like, there's a decent number of initiative 2s that have talents.
So, I mean, it that becomes actually a nice option for them because I do think that that kind of works like a cheapo advanced sensors.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there were a number of times where I wanted Null to have taken damage so he was a zero because that way I could, like, pre-give quick draw a focus or, you know, an action before he sloops, that kind of stuff. And when Null's a 7, I don't really have that option.
Yeah.
I suspect that this is a sign of something that I was hoping for, and that certainly this being able to adjust point costs supports, which is as the game evolves, the points become more complex as we cost it appropriately in appropriate situations. Right now, you're seeing it only. Right now, they're only doing it for initiative, And that's the most obvious and most effective place to do it, is certain talents that are really far more powerful on higher initiative ships. I suspect that as the game evolves, we'll see more complexity in the point costs, which is going to make it much more difficult to list build on paper without one of the builders, but could create some very interesting situations.
Certainly for the balance of the game, though, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, they could have come out and said that, advanced sensors or proton torpedoes on red line is 50 points just on that ship, on that pilot.
Yeah. They have the ability, and I like that they're starting to at least test it. In worst case scenario, they can change it back if they need to.
Absolutely. And what I'm getting at is I like that they're doing it slowly, but I also like that they're adding complexity.
Yeah.
That they're starting to adjust.
I'll think, because we're going to get into like our broad level, like takes on the points adjustments, but you bring up a point. We'll get into that later. Sure. Let's move on to through our talents. I do want to talk about Trickshot, because Trickshot is great. And even they moved it from
not
one
enough.
To two.
Not and enough.
Boy, it's really good, though. It's like really, really good, especially on anything that's a turret.
It's not enough, but it's a good move.
This is actually something like Sable, what you're talking about, where you've got that point structure where they went with squad leader on initiative. I'm honestly thinking Trickshot, where it should eventually end up, is not based on initiative or anything like that. It's based on either your ability to have a turret, either equip one, or you have a mobile firing arc, or maybe even tie it to the size of your base too. Because if you have a bigger base, your firing arc is bigger and has the better chance to trigger. So
yeah, I mean, engine upgrades like that, right? And extra handling and all that.
Tie it to the size of the asteroids you bring.
I like that, actually. Kind of impossible to do, but I kind of like it.
Right.
All right. So let's move on to tech slots, primarily with primed thrusters. They did effectively the same game plan that they did with squad leader and supernatural reflexes, and tied it to initiative. Now it is as expensive as 10 for initiative 6, 9 for initiative 5, and as cheap as 4 for initiative 2, and it kind of scales up, so that's kind of interesting. I don't really care about targeting synchronizer.
I kind of think this one was a mistake.
You think so?
Because of the gunrunners, the quad jumper gunrunners.
Mm-hmm.
Because
wait, mistake primed going up.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking pattern. Primed is fine.
Yeah, primed wants to go up for sure. Like purely for Super Kylo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just makes it a little bit more. I don't know. I don't think it's degenerate. I just think it needed a little bit of a nudge. The big one for torpedoes, protons go up 3. I was expecting the ships to get nerfed, not necessarily that card, because I don't think it's especially powerful on lower PS. But I think that in general, it might get someone to run another torpedo, maybe. So, and I certainly still am looking at taking it at 12. So I think that's like a good cost, or at least I don't hate it.
It's a good start.
I had been running 5 TIE bombers with proton torpedoes, and that was a very scary list, even if you were a higher pilot skill. Because, I don't necessarily get the target locks the first round, but that's a lot of haul and a lot of torpedoes to worry about. Yes. One-offs on lower pilot skill, it's a little more painful now, but there were definitely lists that you could put together to really ruin somebody's day with mass torpedoes.
I'm curious, now that we see them kind of in case of, you know, emergency break glass on the initiative pricing, unlike things like squad leader and stuff, ordnance really kind of falls into that category for me.
Yes, 100%.
And so I'm wondering if that's eventually where we get with ordnance, where like proton torps are like maybe 18 on init 6, and then, you know, they scale down from there, kind of thing.
Yeah, the TIE bomber list that pretty I just slight mentioned scale, yeah. Went to 230 points. Because it's Gamma Squadron Aces, which went up, Trick Shot, which went up, and Proton Torpedoes, which went up.
All right. So let's move on to our last little bit, generic upgrades. Dorsal turrets and ion cannon turrets both dropped 2 points, trying to get us to fly those Y-wings and tie, the aggressors. I should know that. I flew one for forever. Trying to get us to do that. I thought I saw the points decrease for turrets first, and I thought to myself, "Oh my Drea Swarm's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine, guys."
They didn't touch the aggressors. Yeah, what nonsense is that?
Yeah, out of everything to go down, you would have expected that ship to get, you know, at least a 3 or 4 point, you know, downgrade, and it didn't even get touched.
You know, I might have to try out this list. The 6 Y-wings with dorsal turrets.
Yeah, man, that's not bad.
48 hit points.
Tyler, has your dad, like, purchased his 5th and 6th Y-wing at this point?
I mean, presumably yes. Like, I'm sure he has more than 4 to begin with, so.
Okay, that's fair.
I might have to give that a try. That just, that's going to ruin somebody's day.
I like where your head's at. I'm going to stop looking at lists involving Y-wings and A-wings. That sounds fun. I'm just like sitting here going, I can do what? All right. So let's jump into Rebels first. I think we should do Scum first because Scum is the saddest and I want to end on a positive note. I think Scum got hit the hardest, which, you know, deserved, right? Like the Boba Fett combos with Marauder and Han crew were undercosted, certainly. Boba Fett, I thought, was probably points adjustment the best ship in the game or one of the best ones. And so there was a lot of interesting adjustments to Scum. So let's just dive right in. We're starting off with all of the IGs went down between 2 and 5 points, which I think is incredibly exciting to see. You can run 3 now, right?
Yeah, that follows Frank's promise to me at Worlds that you can get 3. So that'll be interesting to play around with. Although I think the one that is probably more intriguing is running 2 with Forlom and the IGD crew. But we shall see once we can toy around with some of them on a table.
Certainly it's potentially there, and they all can run Jamming Beam for 0. I didn't mention that, but Jamming Beam 0, right? And I think it's significant.
Jamming Beam is 0.
Like, having a 0-point upgrade is, you know, it's a freebie, right? So anybody who can take a cannon is taking Jamming Beam effectively from here on out.
It's a situation where I think the effectiveness of it is really being able to strip those reinforced tokens with jam. Mm-hmm. So in a situation where maybe you're running a swarm or multiple ships going against, let's be real, it's probably going to be the Upsilon that's going to be seeing a lot of reinforcing.
Right.
Being able to pull that off with that on the first attack, you know, knowing that it's going to be, you know, reduced in effectiveness, and then the whole rest of your list now gets to hit with full force. So it's going to have a place, and for 0 points, if you've got the slots open, there's no downside to taking it.
One thing I will point out here too is one of the rulings for the system open, which unless FFG comes out and changes like gives an official change ruling, that's what all the other system opens are going to follow. Like they're generally pretty good about that, is that the player that jams, so either hits with a jamming beam or uses the jam action, they pick the exact token that gets dumped. So you jamming beam something with reinforce, even if they have reinforce and lots of stuff, like they lose reinforce.
So with IG-88 B, D, and C, all with jamming beam and title, that's 199 points. What do you spend the last point on?
The bid.
All right. So yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, so I think jamming beam's pretty darn good. Like at least like for 0 points, like heck yeah. Like what else am I going to do?
I like it in like a niche market kind of thing for like on a B-wing or on a lean IG, in the sense that like there are times where you're looking, oh, well, I'm going to have a torp coming in at me or something, but I get to shoot first. I'd give up my damage to stop this torp from hitting me.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, so let's jump into, so three, do we think three aggressives is going to be good at all? Do you think that there's like some potential there? Will, I know that's like one of your like lists. Like, are you pulling that out now?
I was thinking about it. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, before the real tricks were kind of being able to combo some of the cannons and being able to really kind of make use, at least the fun for me was really being able to kind of make use of that advanced sensors boosting stuff to get them into weird spots and go really, really fast. This with running three lean like that, you're not going to have options like that or have access to those toys. I mean, I did try a little bit to see what I could do with two of them, you know, when second edition dropped, and it's like, no, there's just not the tools here. It's just not clicking with three. I mean, now that you got three ships in, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But at least it's something you can do now, and it's intriguing enough that you're like, huh, well now there's a third one out there. Let's see what it can do.
And kind of like you said earlier too, like I think the sweet spot is going to be two with a third good stuff scum ship. You've got Palob, you've got Forlom, you've got a lot of ships that fit in that category that can take IGD, and now they've all got lots of calculate tokens and doing nonsense like that.
So let's jump into the Y-Wings. Y-Wings went down for the cheap Y-Wings and then went up for Cavil and Drea. I think that is a balancing act with the turrets that dropped more than anything. Like, you know, but I'm a little surprised by that, actually. Like, I honestly expected Drea to take a raise. And instead, it looks like they decided
It was a point on Drea.
Yeah, they decided to nerf the things around Drea, not Drea herself, which I thought was interesting. And Cavil actually sees a slight buff in points by a point, due to the fact that, you know, turrets are down two and he's up one. So
Cavil lost, went way up, because Cavil used to run Han, Gunner, and Pro still too.
Right. So. Well, you can run him straight up with just the turret, though. He's good with just the turret.
I mean, not good, he's okay. Like, he was good with Han, Gunner, and a Proton Torp that said, if you're not I-5, you're taking fully modded Proton Torp. Like, have fun.
And on the Drea side, really what was kind of crippling for that traditional Drea swarm that we saw, at least up until this point, was the amount of quad jumpers and headhunters and, you know, escape craft ratio situation.
We're about to get through like all of the things that were the Drea swarm itself, like the traditional one, your Hagwood Drea swarm is gone. Speak of the devil, let's get into that. So the escape craft went up, shocking. Lando went up three, the Outer Rim Pioneer went up four, and L337 went up four.
And the drone didn't. Ha!
Yeah.
So you laughed at me! Laughed! Who's laughing now?
Suck it, nerds. So I think that's probably worthwhile. Coordinate is still incredibly valuable as a skill, and so they upped the cost on it, and I'm okay with it in general. Like, I ran that ship a lot in a lot of my scum lists, and I'm probably still doing it, even though it's costing, you know, 4 points more now.
Yeah, cheap coordinate shouldn't be in the game. That's one of the big, just,
26-point coordinate sounds fine.
I'm looking at 32 in Scum, 32 to 35 or whatnot, like, mm-hmm. or not Scum, in First Order. Mm-hmm. Just like in even more than that in Empire, right? Like this, mm-hmm. like this, the Cethapede, the escape craft, like it's just annoying.
And
pilot drone.
And here's the really goofy thing with that I noticed as I was playing in my Wave Championship this past weekend. Like, I saw that drone everywhere, right? And I didn't even realize it barrel rolled. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that's got to be red, right? Because the Z95 is red, the Y-Wing is mm-hmm. red. No, that stupid thing's got a white barrel roll. I'm like, it's an escape craft. How the hell is it barrel rolling better than an actual fighter craft? Like, this is stupid. Like, that ship is dumb.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we're kind of rolling through here. Let's talk about Boba Fett. Boba Fett went up 6 points, and no one was sad, right?
Only the people trying to run him.
Boba Fett went up way more than six. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by himself, he starts off at six. We'll get
Boba Fett goes up by six. The title goes up by three. Han Gunner goes up by eight.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That combo's gone, which I think is good. I think that easy double mods is not a good thing for the game. Or triple mods in some cases with Boba, right? Focus, reinforce, and rerolls.
Yeah, from that stupid little drone.
Yeah, like, theoretically he could do it himself, right? He reinforces in range one and then gets focus from Han, right? He could do that by himself.
Reinforce is red.
Yeah, that's right.
It's already stressed.
Right.
Okay, good call. So,
unless you have the drone, at which point you reinforce, then do your blue maneuver.
Then boost, yeah, then Han. Yeah.
Yeah, all this stupid nonsense. Like, good riddance. I don't care about that at all. Like, just
well,
goodbye.
that's why you had IGD before on him in extended, right? Because it was you'd reinforce from the drone, you'd IGD as your action, and then on focus if you needed extra tokens still. Mm-hmm. Or debris gambit evade.
Well, and that's why I took Dengar Connor instead of Han, because I had so many tokens already. I might as well get that free damage, free 50% damage.
And not stress yourself, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's kind of move on here to the G1A Starfighter. Zuckuss and Gan Finesman went down. Am I crazy to think that a 41-point Finesman... like might be like a backbone ship, sort of like your X-Wings and B-Wings are? Like, that seems okay.
Well, it was always considered a Scum B-Wing before. I mean,
yeah.
Now it's a medium base Scum B-Wing.
Yeah, I think that's the big downside, is medium base.
Really? Because it helps you block better, right? Like,
helps you block, but on the other hand, given their dial, it's a little harder to knife fight with it.
Sure. Okay, I buy that.
And that's always the role the B-Wing played, was knife fighter. You get in close, you stay in close.
So, still, 41 points is pretty darn good. I don't know. I'm gonna poke around on that, see if I can make something happen. Probably not, but I'm at least going to try it out.
It's definitely... a 2-point discount is definitely a good thing. But I don't know if it's a backbone ship yet, or if it's a ship that you can use in very specific lists for surprises.
Right. So the Hawk, not much of a surprise there. Dace Bonearm, awesome RPG name, went down. Palob and Torkoal went up by 2 points. That seems right. Specifically Palob is incredibly good. And then considering that... that's 2 points along with the Moldy Crow that went up. How much did that go by?
Six. Went up 6 points.
Which is probably right. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was it was auto-include on any Hawk you ran, and it needed to happen. Now, my question is Palob still good at the points, or is he dead on arrival?
No, Palob is still good.
Palob's still good.
Yeah.
In fact, I was actually surprised he only... yeah, I know the title went up six, but I'm actually surprised he only went up two. Because you compare him to what you're seeing on the Rebel side for Hawk costs, and it's just like, really? You kind of have to raise an eyebrow a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if the next point round he goes up more.
Yeah, we'll see how they end up doing that.
So this is one of those things where I think they're doing this. I've seen a lot of people talk about it online. When you have that reaction, like, I don't know his redline is expensive enough. Redline went up, but like he still seems fine at like the 70 point range. And Paleb still seems fine at his point range, even going up by 8. They're not wanting to just like price these people into the stratosphere to where they never get to play again, right? Like they're going, hey, we think 8 points more or 12 points more, something like that. Like maybe it's good here, but they're like, you know, 6 months down the line when those ships are still really good, then you'd be like, okay, I guess it's another 5. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather see that than them go like, oh, redline was everywhere. 20 point increase, go. Right? And just like, I guess I never play a Punisher anymore.
Like cool. They did Supernatural Resources for Initiative 6. Like,
Well, but like, okay, hold on though. But like, you have to understand that like, they're also pricing that with the knowledge that there's an entire faction of Jedi coming out here shortly that could all take Supernatural Reflexes.
There is that.
Like, yeah, that would have been beyond dumb. So... Because like before that, like I think we've seen the it has both boost and barrel roll. Like at least Vader doesn't have boost, right? He has to damage himself if he wants to use super boost. So that was not the case with that Jedi Starfighter.
All right, so let's move on with Scum, guys. The Jumpmaster is like, someone sell me on this because I still don't see it, but like it got significant buffs in points, like. Dengar is 6 cheaper. Tel Travura, 10 cheaper. Manaru, 9 cheaper. And then just the base scout, 6 cheaper at 46 points. That's not bad, right?
Well, the dial didn't get any better. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not shedding a tear for the damn Jumpmaster. But I don't know how much you're still going to see it played. Just because it's almost impossible to turn that thing around and get its turret moved and all that type of stuff. So
I think this means that you might occasionally see one.
I mean, here's to go along with that though, it seems like there's a pretty concerted effort for large base ships going down a little bit. So I imagine we're going to see a lot more of those in general because the Lancer went down by 8 for Asajj Ventress, who I think maybe does see play, and then 4 for the other Lancers. So
they in the article about this, they definitely talked about the fact that they had a concerted effort to make large ships cheaper because they just weren't seeing the table, not in any significant numbers.
Yeah, other than
one very specific bounty hunter. Yeah,
yeah, or
but he's medium
shuttles. Here's a lot of ups, the launch shuttle soon. I think Asajj has a chance to see some run because I think Asajj is good.
I agree.
All of the interceptors went down a little bit. I'm still not sold on them, but who knows?
It's possible. But they're cheap enough that
they're starting. I'm starting to think about it. Yeah.
And I'm saying that if they had gotten more aggressive with the M3 interceptors, they could have easily over-adjusted them.
Yeah.
And they're now in the range of what you're seeing with the mining guild ties, right? Which is fairly comparable for what you can do with them in different ways.
Speak of the devil, Seavor went up. Seavor went up too. I'm a little surprised that the mining tie and Z didn't get a little bit of differentiation because it seems like the mining ties are just strictly better than Scum Z's, and I was a little surprised by that.
I think part of that is going to be that I would expect Scum Z's to not get reprinted.
Aren't they doing Scum Z like the next wave?
Are they?
Yeah, I swear to God they're doing Scum Z's next wave. Am I crazy? Am I remembering this wrong?
I thought they were doing that for the Jedi faction.
No, it's like that's coming out in the same wave, but like, what is it, wave 4, wave 3, second edition?
I think it's wave 3, and to your point, Alex, I don't think they're going to get any new pilots or anything like that. I think it's literally just a new paint job or a new sculpt kind of thing. So they may just be what they are. And yeah, you might see them get tweaked in points in the future, but I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot change with them.
It just strikes me as weird that they bring back the C-95s for Scum when they have sort of already the other ships kind of filling that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm remembering this right. Like, A, good job, memory. I know I do a lot of bad things to you. Second of all, yeah, they're reprinting the Z-95. So and right after shirt, the release...
Your shirt's for Scum?
Yeah, they do they're doing the repaint for them, like the cool Black Sun one. The black and yellow looks really cool.
Mm.
Right, so they released the mining tie in the Z-95, and they're like the exact same point range. And I'll be honest with you, like the mining tie is, to me, it is blatantly superior to the Z-95. Like, Blair's not here to like defend its honor, but he likes the Rebel version anyways, right? So... it seems surprising that happened. Now, I don't think that like they've done like a blurb for that expansion, so maybe there's something they're including that we're missing, but it sure seems to me like the mining tie is directly superior. Like, if you think about it, they can run over rocks, they got that agility, like, I don't know, like, it just seems better to me.
No, there's one thing it's missing. It can't take a dead man switch.
Yeah.
All right, you're right. I missed that. All right, so I was a little surprised by that. Like, obviously, Seabor is good, so I'm not surprised it went up a little bit. But the fact that they are still in the same ballpark, I was just a little bit surprised by.
I want to point out that things that just came out, they didn't touch much because they just don't have the data, and that includes the Mining Guild tie. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can talk about how they're superior to the Z-95, but the truth is that the Mining Guild tie just came out and they don't have the data necessary to make major adjustments. We didn't see any change to the Upsilons. Many of the things that came out in this last wave didn't get much touch. I wouldn't be surprised if they get adjusted further in the next... or differentiated more in the next cycle.
Right. I was looking at that as well, Sable. And it's not only the stuff that like just came out, but like basically everything that's legal in hyperspace. Like, there were very few of those ships that got like across the board adjustments. It's like the right. TIE Advanced and the 1300.
Yeah, the Rebel stuff saw some differences, but a lot of the hyperspace stuff for the other factions didn't see a whole lot of change.
All right, so moving along here, let's talk about, like, pour one out for all of my fancy painted space tugs, because they went up between 2 and 4 points. Your typical generic Jakku Gunrunner went from 28 to 32. Mm-hmm. Here's the one thing I will tell you. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to run, you know, three of them like I used to. I'll say this, though. I think it's still completely dangerous at 32, and you should run them. Like, I've been trying to squeeze them in. That's still a good ship at 32.
Yeah, I agree. I actually thought they'd have maybe one or two more points tacked on because of how dangerous, especially at init one, that Gunrunner can be, where it's just like, oh, I know exactly where you're going with perfect information. I just dial in a maneuver that allows me to reduce your agi and potentially throw you on a rock or screw up your formation. So we will see how often it sees play here moving forward. But yeah, I think you're right. It'll still see some tables just because of how impactful it is.
Yeah, just the ability to action barrel roll somebody, you know, and give them agility at low, like when you know where they are, that's just so good. So it's for 4 points, easily worth it. All right, so the Skurg Bomber went down. And it got a gunner slot. I still don't see it for Scum yet, but does anybody, like, does that move the dial for any of you guys?
No, not yet. I just haven't thought about it.
I hesitated a little bit because there might be something at some point with a very lean Captain Nim because of mm-hmm. what he can do with his ability. But it really probably comes down to what you compare it with that synergizes with it. And I think that's probably still the problem. But we shall see. Again, I think that's one of those ships that everyone just has PTSD over with the end of 1.0.
So maybe give it time.
Yeah. Maybe a really cheap Sol 6A with Prox Mines, maybe?
I can see that.
It might be something about a Captain Nim Emin build kind of thing where you're really just going all in on the bombs. But, I mean, that still seems like a very cheeky fun list, not something super competitive.
So Guri went up a point. I was a little surprised to see that because Guri never seemed especially broken to me, especially considering that they adjusted advanced sensors, which was like the combo, right? So I thought the advanced sensor change alone was worth it, and I was a little surprised to see her go up one.
Guri hits that same point of supernatural aces at I5 that, like, you're a new player or you don't have something that moves after them, mm-hmm. you don't play the game anymore.
Right.
It's 1 point.
Yeah, it's fine. I was just surprised.
I also think it might be a little bit of a protection because if you're taking away a lot of the advanced or the supernatural fives and sixes, right? They just disappear, which most of them were at fives. Then Advanced Sensors Guri just gets to go play in that same space, and she doesn't have any of those predators right on her tail, right? So it might be more of a just preventative, let's go Advanced Sensors up 2 points, let's bump Guri up a point, and maybe see if that helps keep it a little bit in check, but I guess we'll see.
I mean, I will say that I have had a lot of fun with the... with the eight hit point Guri, where, I mean, 8 hit points, advanced sensors, let's go. She's a lot of fun that way. And I never felt like I was, I never felt like she wasn't a good ship at that point. If that makes sense. I never got the sense that this is a fun broken, ship, not a... She wasn't broken, but she also wasn't trashed that I was just having fun with. She felt good.
But you also had a pretty hefty price point, right? With all that stuff, right?
She's a lot of points, but then again, she's an 8 hit point Guri, so eh.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was saying. I think they maybe just kind of did a little bit of a nudge on the points on her just to maybe do that little to try and keep that in check because right. I guess that's what my first thought was. Okay, great. Supernatural Luke's gone. Yay. Whisper's knocked down a little bit, you know, at least without the Vader stuff, which we'll talk about here. Supernatural Kylo will be out there. But then it was like, okay, well, is this where Guri with advanced sensors just starts destroying with the Kirby barrel rolls. So
right, like Guri right now, Predator, advanced sensors, hull, shield, and the title is 100 points even.
Mm-hmm. Right, that seems fair for that.
Yeah,
that's half your list. So
yes.
So let's move on to the party bus. The party bus went down in general, and Gunner and added the Gunner.
Got the Gunner.
So I think. I'm curious for Morallo because I want Morallo to be good just because I think it's funny. Either way, maybe we start seeing a little bit of this. I think another stealth buff to this ship is all of the scum crew was cheaper, like just to kind of like brush through this quickly, including Forlom, Visago, Mald is cheaper, Zuckuss is cheaper, Jabba the Hutt is cheaper. So I think that there's some, like, you can see more party buses. I'm not sold on it yet, but certainly the possibility is now there, right?
I will say that something that is particularly interesting to me is running a party bus with Dengar Gunner because you've got the 180-degree arc.
Sure, sure. And he's not bad either.
So.
Yeah, so a crew that did go up that is simultaneously Imperial and Scum is triple O. He was 3, now he's 5. And I'll be honest, that's a crew I ran a lot early on, and yep. It was good. So at 5, I think you still might see it just for those ships that can get like close. I think it's still something that you might want to run for those double mods. So other than that, I don't know. We talked about Marauder. We talked about Moldy Crows. Is there anything else we want to talk about with Scum, or do we want to move on to another faction?
I think we can move on.
Yeah.
Right on. So let's go to the Empire. We've got a lot of Empire fans here. Let's start off with the gunboat. I need to find an air horn. Gunboat went down. And as a gunboat fan, I still can't see it.
Well, you're not looking very hard.
Yeah.
Just put five of them on the table, Ricky. Just put 5 of them on the table.
why stop at 5?
Because you put ion cannon on them in title?
Because yeah. You can.
Okay, I'm going to look now.
You can take 6 of them with jamming beam?
Sure.
I guess that's fair.
But like, I mean,
I was just saying, 5 with something is still a bit scary. You know, that's a lot of hit points on 2 agility with slam. And yeah, it's got it. I think there's something there just massing, you know, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have 5 with points to spare. Like you get other stuff besides ion cannon with 5.
Yeah, for sure.
You get advanced. Is advanced slam the other thing? That's what it is. Yep, you get 5 with advanced slam and ion cannon, right? So you have double move, and you can shoot your cannon every turn too. And this is one of those lists where when ion control is good, the game sucks, and this might be one of those things that makes ion control good.
This literally is giving me flashbacks to the 3 K-Wings that KO was running, where it's like you slam behind them after they're ioned, and then whatever, you just never see.
Well, he was stressing stuff out, but yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah. But the same thing, right?
And they're so obnoxiously fast. Like, yes. 3 bank into 3 bank into shoot you. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
3 hard into 3 hard. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be one of those things where if people catch on to it and it takes off a little bit, you're just going to be like, oh, great. Okay. How many hit points is that? Great. Well, let's see how fast I can, you know, screw around with this. So problem is if they are hitting you with ion, there's literally nothing you can do with whatever they're focusing on, right? Because you just got to list 1 forward, you know, mm-hmm. So...
1 forward focus.
Yeah, it's a very questionable thing, but I guess this is
more akin to like the old Rebel Convoy list where it would ion you and bump you. Like, sure, you get to move and you get to focus, but like, can you deal with getting shot by 3 ion cannons? You can't dodge mm-hmm. that. Like, they have mods, you have 1.
And, exactly, and maybe the answer isn't having all 5 of them. Maybe it's 3 of them and one of the cheap decimators or something ridiculous,
right?
That we've got now. So,
But I mean, at 40 points, I like it as a cheap control point. Control piece. Now, mind you, it's extended only, so it like basically doesn't exist or matter. But
yeah.
Not only is it extended only, but it's like out of print everywhere. So if you don't have one, good luck.
Sure, but everyone has 3 because they ran 3 BQD, right? Like.
Yeah, that's true.
I only have 4. God.
All right. So also going down were all of the advanced simultaneously V1s with Inquisitor and Seven Sister. There's some room to grow there. Certainly very important is Vader going down. Vader went down 4 points. And I'll be honest, I was surprised. 5 points. Sorry.
5 points.
Yeah. And I was surprised by that.
Well, no, I mean, Vader pays the supernatural tax, so he didn't go down 5 points. Like, he still went up a lot. But, because, I mean, his supernatural is 30 points now or some nonsense like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 36.
So, yeah, 30, sure. So he's still 101 points with supernatural. Like, obnoxious. No one's ever going to run that. But, like, Vader at 65, you can do things like FCS and hate and make him 70 points. And, like, that hits hard for 70 points. He still mm-hmm. dies really quick. But he might be able to do the damage ahead of time.
Yeah, Hate Vader actually sounds like he could be a thing because of how he can turn the focus back or the force back. So
yeah. Before the change to supernatural, there's no way I was going to take Hate, but now
or anything. Hate? So like Sense Vader too. Like
mm-hmm. Yeah, Sense that Vader one too.
like sense Vader with a bunch of TIE fighters. Like, okay, now my Vader can stay alive because I just block you with TIE fighter barrel rolls and that kind of stuff. Like, that's, I don't know if it's good. It's at least a spot. One of the interesting things is you can now get 5 Tempests with FCS, and that is a list that hits really hard. Now it's 5 initiative 2 generics, right? Like that's not good, but it's a hyperspace legal list that hits like a truck.
So, yeah. So I guess I see what you're saying, especially since if you weren't running it with Supernatural, I mean, maybe it does need to go down a little bit. Let's talk about the Punishers, because they are nerfed into oblivion.
Think about Vader, right? Like, no one ran him. Like, he didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you ran other stuff because he was just simply too expensive.
Yeah.
Now he might exist as something else. And, like, the sad thing is, like,
Morgan's running a Vader mini swarm right now.
Yep. Was he actually on? Are they playing right now?
No, I don't know. I can't. I can't load up Vassal.
All right,
I'm mobile tethering, dude. I played with mobile tethering versus Bun. Oh. It was not ideal. This whole thing is not ideal. Yeah. Anyways, Punishers freaking nerfed into oblivion. No one cares. So Tidees went down. Is that just a reaction to advanced sensors?
Well, just to back up one step, I mean, Death Rain only moved up 2 points. Now, granted, Trajectory Simulator also went up a bunch, but I'm just saying they didn't necessarily nerf him into oblivion. Redline is probably still playable at 70 points.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, I'm trying to spread it. Like, no, they're gone. Never do it again.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Redline is, you can't get Squad of Legend anymore, right? Like, Redline is still playable, but like he's a 71. The Phantom completely changed. We'll get to that later. And you can't have a 20-point bid when you do this crap. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's you know, that's not bad.
Yeah, probably fair. So Tidy went down. Is that a reaction to advanced sensors at all? Like, is that like just basically to like even that all out?
What? Ish. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, like the 2 points, I still don't see. They're still really good ships. Like, we don't want Tidees to go down, or we don't want Defenders to go down to the point where you're like, oh, wait a minute, now I could be looking at a Defender. Because, like, man, whoa.
Yeah, that's very fair. I think they've got the pricing on these things almost spot on. And, yes, I think you're right, Kelvin, with the 2-point advanced sensors going up. It's like, okay, well, advanced sensors on these, they were probably at the right price point. So that's a good balancing act, I think.
Hey, look at that. TIE fighters didn't get touched. Shocking. They should all be cheaper. Or get linked actions.
Or be Mining Guild TIE fighters.
Sure, yeah, get something.
Get Howrunner.
Huh?
They get Howrunner.
Sure.
Hey, rerolls are good.
Compared to it's just comparing it to a lot of the stuff out there at similar price points, I'm just like, nah. Like, I'll fly it because I can fly a TIE Swarm well, but I don't think I should be flying it.
Well, I mean, there's going to be less Trajectory Simulator out there.
Yeah, that's, but there's thing. 5 A-Wings that can shoot front and back, or 6 A-Wings. Like, I feel like that's just a better list that'll have linked actions.
All right, so let's move on to Whisper. Pour one out for Whisper, or not. I mean, that's probably fine.
I think she's still fine.
I poured one out, wave 4 last cycle. I don't need to pour any more out for this trash.
Not only did Whisper get more expensive by 2 points, but Whisper also lost crew, specifically everyone's favorite Darth Vader crew. TIE Phantom now has a gunner slot. So if you want your fourth Force points, you got to talk to your boy Fifth Brother.
Yeah, who got cheaper?
Yeah, this is a change that I was really we're going to make. It's one.
Yeah,
that...
unofficial nerf is also Juke going up a point too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I had wanted. I never thought it made sense for them to ever have crew. Just but the picture, the cockpit has 2 seats. Yes, and the other person is controlling the cloaking device, and that's their entire job. So
I'm pretty sure, like in the video game they come from, like you have people that are important as the other crew member. Not that we should base an entire game's balance around what the video game, the random ass video game that the ship is from.
Dark Forces 2 has two cannons. Right.
It wasn't Dark Forces 2. It was Rebel Assault 2.
Rebel Assault 2. Yeah, sure.
That was one of the first video games I ever got on my computer, and like I beat it, but it's not a good game.
Oh. And the story isn't good, and the gameplay isn't good, the graphics aren't good. And why?
Nothing about that game was good. It was like the polar opposite of TIE Fighter.
So I think Whisper is still fine, even Juke. That's point-wise, sure, up 3 points, whatever. You going to Gunner is interesting. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, yeah, Cloak and Choke was probably too good, especially at the price point that it was. But if we ever get, like, good Gunners, because we don't have good gunners in the game right now for like non-turret based ships.
Yeah, right now it's Fifth Brother, right? This is the one.
Yeah, but I'm talking like in the future, like with newer waves that come out, where if you get things that let you mess with how you shoot, right? Mm-hmm. So like old style gunner, where you get to shoot twice if you miss, or you know, just anything in that kind of nature. Mm-hmm. Like that's an interesting space. All right, cool. So they have access to that.
Tyler, as a fellow, runner of Coggy or Shuttle and Whisper, I mean, I don't really think that we even feel it too hard, due to the fact that you can just run Vader on the shuttle and just move.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can. I was talking to a couple other people on Facebook about this today, where. So people are looking back at Palpatine, right? Like, okay, well, I can get this global force point. The problem is when you put that force point on a shuttle, it dies really easy. Mm-hmm. Versus like the why Vader was so good was his ability, one, obviously. But the other side was that ability was always on until you lost Whisper. And if you lost Whisper, you probably lost the game, right? Like that was your finisher. That was your closer. Mm-hmm. So now you could, if you move Vader to the shuttle or you try to do Palpatine or something like that, you're tying Whisper's power level to something that's not in Whisper and can just avoid damage and stuff like that in that nature. So I don't know as you'll see it as much. I don't know. Like, yeah. And Coggy went down in value with Resistance and First Order coming out as well. There's a lot less target lock. Like, I mean, there's still Resistance Trench Run, sure, but like, there's not nearly as much torpedo spam.
Yeah, you can always move back to Psy. Like, you know, ST-321 dropped too, man.
Yeah, it did. It did. So one of the things that I am sad about with the swap from crew to gunner is that you can't run a Slum Phantom anymore. And I just enjoyed that style of game.
I did not, so I'm
it's fine. You're allowed to be wrong.
Sable's like light it on fire. Who cares?
What do we got next? Yeah. All the bombers going up. Shocking. No one.
Yeah, no one's shocked by that. They were certainly undercosted before. I was a little surprised by Jonas's jump. I thought Jonas's jump was a lot.
I'm not.
So Jonas was value added if you just took Jonas. Uh-huh. Like he was worth the points just modifying his own attack. If you think about that in like terms to Howlrunner, like Howlrunner needed three other ships getting her reroll before she like made point value, right? Like, so Jonas going 7 points up seems totally fine.
The one that I'm kind of surprised by is Major Reimer going up 4, so 2 on top of the chassis increase.
I feel he was pretty good. He was pretty good,
but I never felt like I didn't feel like he was out of line of power levels of the other bombers. So I definitely understand the chassis increase, but I don't know.
It's that range 0 advanced proton torp.
Either way, like certainly no one's exactly surprised that bombers went up.
No.
So let's talk about, like, we already talked about, like, large ship bases are typically going down. I'll tell you what, decimators going down, those look pretty darn good. Like, not gonna lie.
Yeah, you can finally get stuff with Rack that might not be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Or Oiken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could talk me into a decimator build.
I mean, Rec is now the equivalent price of a patrol leader in 1.0. So,
Pretty good.
Which feels about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the ability changed so drastically.
Well, so, and the dial, like they're slower. They can't take boost. They don't have access to the full 360 arc. It feels okay.
So as far as Imperial crew is concerned, 000 obviously went back up. Inquisitor Tarkin, Joff Gerard. I know how to say that. Seventh Sister went down. Palpatine went down. Fifth Brother went down.
Like they said, all the Force users went down, basically, except probably Vader, right? Vader stayed the same?
Yeah, he stayed the same.
Because he's real good.
And I think that that's, I don't know, like, okay, right? Like, none of that really, like, screams, like, look at me, I'm going to run this now, but certainly makes me want to consider it more. Yeah, I'm starting to consider it more. I am hyped about ST-321 going down, because that was a good card already, so great. Yeah, I'm a big, like, for the four times a run extended, I'm ready. And Tyler, I'm telling you, you can run the old Psy Shuttle list with 4 points left to spare.
Right. Is 4 points a big enough bid?
I mean, who cares? If you need to, you can drop Fifth Brother. And do 13 point bid then.
I don't have a bid, but I don't know if I care. This seems good. I can get Chirino, Soontar, and Duchess with stuff.
Yeah. All right. So that's Empire. Let's get to Rebels, because Rebels are the last, like, major adjustments, and then we can breeze through First Order and Resistance. Really, not a ton there. All right. So Rebels, the big one. The B wings all go down a little bit, and that seems right. Like, I never understood, and this is something that Blair brought up a lot, that realistically, you could argue that X-Wings were better than B-Wings, like, at the same cost. So the fact that they start off at the same cost feels right. Like, so now you have your choice of, you know, lots of hit points, that focus barrel roll, or you can have the slightly more mobile X-Wing, and I think that's right.
Yeah, they're two sides of a coin kind of thing, mm-hmm. like you said. Mm-hmm. So that feels fair.
Yeah. So I'm nothing really too crazy about those adjustments. I think that Braylon and Tin, like, had spots already, so it's going to be interesting to see if they get maybe a little bit more run now. So there's that. Let's jump into the attack shuttle to the shock of no one. Sabine Wren went up. Considering that she was better than an X-Wing anyways, and cheaper, at least now she costs more than an X-Wing, and then Juke also went up. And I still think that she's probably still
she should still see
worth
it.
Yeah. She's still worth playing, but she's not I start every Rebel list ever with this ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked about it with Scum, but I do want to mention it. Rebel Y-Wings are very, very good and very, very cheap. Like you said, six Rebel Y-Wings. I'm staring, Sable, I'm staring at a three Y-Wing, two A-Wing, one X-Wing list. That's six Rebel ships that all can kind of fill in slightly different roles. That seems bananas good.
And none of them are Z's. So they're not trash ships. They're all.
So, and you're all wrong. Cause you can get five with dorsal and veteran turret gunner. Like, you have five buff saws and you have a proton bomb on the guy on the tail just to cover your backside.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's a lot of fire.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, your dad's just, like, salivating listening to this. So the K-Wings went down, and I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised by that, although I suppose barrage rockets went up, so that kind of balances itself.
And they were
out.
Still a little under or overcost, even.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not looking forward to four of them with bombs and barrage rockets.
I mean, it wasn't bad, though. Like, I played it a couple of times.
Yeah, I played you against it. You and I had a pretty good game. Yeah, you and I had a pretty good game with that.
Well, like, you can get proton bombs on all of them now, right? All four?
Not with barrage rockets.
Yeah, because barrage went up. Okay. Yeah.
Barrage went up.
Okay.
So K-Wings still probably about the same. E-Wings are one of the major drops. They dropped eight for Corinhorn and 7 for everybody else. And you know what? Like, I think you can, like, I think that you could corner case Corin from time to time. I think that you can absolutely run them now.
I think you'd actually start talking me into Gavin. I always liked the old
Baton.
Yatana bot.
I liked his ability. I liked that it made it into second edition. I think now that the damage deck is far more punishing, that ability to get a crit is good rather than, it's kind of nice, I guess, sort of. I mean, there's just so many crits that'll ruin somebody's day. And now that he's cheap enough that you can run significant wingmen with him, I think there's a case to be made for a decent Gavin list. It's not going to be top tier, I don't think, but I think it's worth playing.
I think one thing to keep in mind is, I don't have the dial right in front of me, but I think if I remember right, if you put an R4 on these guys, their one hearts become blue. And they've got a 4 or 5 straight that's also blue now. So, like, they can get places if you've got that R4 and clear the linked action stress and all that type of thing. Now, the downside is their linked actions kind of suck because you got target lock.
Their hard ones are white now.
Their hard ones become white.
Oh, are they white? Okay.
They go to white. But yeah.
Still good, yes.
And their linked actions are still trash. So,
well, but then they get the 2 hard that's blue. They get the 2 bank that's blue. Yeah, the R4 is a really good card on them, but they don't get the blue hard one.
Okay, I was thinking that could make the case for Corn right there.
And that's just such a hard sell over R3 when you have long range scanners. Like, why wouldn't you want to go in with double target lock?
That's fair. I guess I was thinking that the white or the one hard was white, so it made it blue. But no, if it just makes it white, that's a little bit different. So.
Nope. So certainly we might see some E-Wings on the table now, even though it's like my least favorite Rebel ship because it's so ugly. It's just an ugly ship.
No, it 100% is. I agree.
The worst part was them having to write into the lore that they have to take off the cannon above the cockpit in order for the pilot to get out because whoever designed it didn't realize that the cockpit had to open.
Oh my god. So bad. Why is this?
It's like it was designed by somebody in Kerbal Space Program. Why is there a ladder on top of this hatch?
If they just get rid of that cockpit gun, it actually isn't that awful. But yeah, that cockpit gun is just a huge eyesore.
So let's move on to the Rebel Hawk. The Rebel Hawks all went up. The Rebel Hawks all went up, and they went up pretty significantly, and I was surprised comparing the Rebel Hawk increase to the Scum Hawk increase. Like, not only do they already increase Moldy Crow, right, which completely deserved, but they increased all of these ships on top of that, and I'll be honest, I was a little surprised by this. Although, I'll tell you, Rebel Scouts by themselves are really good.
So my favorite thing about this was they came out with the point costs, and I'd run into the double tap at I7 bullshit with dash that I hated because it just doesn't feel right. So I start looking and dash goes down too, but then you've got Rourke that goes up and the talent that goes up and the Moldy Crow that goes up and everything they use goes up. It goes up like 35 or 40 points. And then they come out with a ruling that, the I7 double tap doesn't work anyway.
Yeah, and then they take it out back behind the bar, old yeller the shit out of it, and no one cared.
I was laughing so hard.
There was like 20 total players out there that were like, but my dash, and everyone else was like, good riddance, good riddance.
I really wish I would have, they would have had some type of camera on whoever initially made the fact ruling, like way back. It's like, oh no, that interaction perfectly works. And then everyone else probably standing in the room, kind of like probably something stupid that Trump says. And it's like, oh dear God, what did he just say? And then having to deal with it, for a long time. But
I mean, it's more like they went like, oh no, that was more degenerate than we thought. Okay, sure. Kill it. Next.
I'm just glad that they decided to kill it as well as increase all the points instead of increase the points.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with the ruling that they made, that it shouldn't work. Rules is written, it totally does, so I understand why they made the original ruling, but we don't need to actually worry about rules as written when you're writing the rules.
Yeah. When you write the rules, you do what you want.
Which you could just say it doesn't work. You don't have to justify it.
Which we're skipping around here a little bit, but I do want to say something else since we mentioned that Dash goes down by 2. Like, Lebo goes down by 10. But
yeah.
Then you realize they yanked the crew off of it and no one cares.
that desperately needed to lose the crew.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just him that loses the crew.
Yeah, right. Everyone else keeps their crew. Everyone else can have it.
Apparently Lebo.
You, Lebo.
No, Lebo hates people.
Lebo C-3PO was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of those things that I think was like very, very good. Just people didn't run it. Like, it's not that it couldn't win a tournament. It probably could have. We just didn't see it.
Well, and that's we're getting into that. We finally saw them do it. That they had this ability to remove or add upgrade slots to specific ships.
Yep.
And we saw them do it twice this time around. Lebo, because the C-3PO Lebo was so bad, and Null losing the talent.
Yeah.
Where they made minor tweaks to very specific ships so they don't have to nerf the entire chassis because you have one problematic combo.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's jump into the A-Wing real quick then. A-Wings, for the most part, went down except for the 30-point Phoenix Squadron, and they all got a talent, so they got a pretty significant buff. That being said, I keep looking at these guys and going, you know, the resistant ones can shoot out the back, right? I might just go run those.
I think you're right that the resistant ones are better, but I do have this just the lizard brain in me desperately wants to run 5 greens with crack and Arful with crack. That is 200 points. They're all PS3. Let's do this.
To argue against myself, too, certainly, regardless of the resistance one being like playing better than the A-Wings one, there are still slots where the A-Wing fits magnificently in 5-ship rebel lists. Yes. And absolutely. And you can just run them and it's fine, right? Like, 31 points for an A-Wing with crack shot is great. Like, go forth, block, and shoot things.
You know, I think your impulse is right that the resistant A-Wings are better, but that doesn't mean there isn't a place for the Rebel A-Wing. So if you're setting out to build just an A-Wing list, you go to resistance. But if you're setting out to build a list that includes A-Wings,
yeah, just chuck Arvel and something will be good. Yeah.
I love Arvel so much.
Yeah, he's very, very good. So there's lots of spots there.
I just wanted to say one thing. Like Sybil, you mentioned the 6 with, you know, crack shot at the init 3, right?
Yeah.
But I'm curious if you run, you know, a Phoenix squad with intimidation, like you've got them as like really good blockers, you know. That's an awful lot of blocking you can do, and now you're reducing agi on anything that you block.
Yep.
Maybe there's something to that. Now, granted, they're all I1s, but that makes them better blockers, right? Yeah. So even just one of them, right, at 33 points, yeah, that's pretty solid filler. So
that seems reasonable to me. That would be super frustrating. 6 of them with intimidation.
Yeah, you can't pick anywhere to go.
All right, so moving on to the Sheathipede, the cheap ones went up a little bit just because cheap coordinates should be up. Not really much to say there.
Yeah, I don't think it went up enough, but we'll see.
Well, we'll get to this in a second, but it's also the cheapest Leia crew carrier. And so that's also something that you have to be aware of now too.
Right. So it's like even with the, in that sense. All right, so let's talk about the Rebel big ships. The VCX goes down semi-significantly from anywhere from 2 to 6 between the Lothal and Kanan. They get the sensor slot, which I guess sort of balances that out so they can now take, you know, advanced sensors and whatnot. The big thing, to kind of look at though is, the Rebel, YT-1300 drops anywhere from 9 to 12 points. And we were already like talking about some potential options here when this first came out. Holy God, guys, that is nuts.
Yeah, Lando's real good.
That is.
Yeah, Lando's screaming at me right now as for 80 points base. That is a huge, huge bargain.
It's just like two action ship always seems fine.
Yeah, that can use your second action as a coordinate. You know, that's pretty awesome. A range 3 coordinate on a big base ship.
Or so, just to himself.
But. Yes. Yeah.
And to go back to what I said about crits earlier, Chewbacca, I think, is pretty decent now with that point drop. Being able to ignore a face-up damage each round is more powerful now than it was in first edition. Granted, his ability was better in first edition, but...
Well, right, like...
You're talking a four-point upgrade. 4 points to go from PS1 to PS4, and you ignore a crit every round? Yes, please.
Well, I mean, just say that, like, Chewie, his cost is really, like, one of his biggest advantages, right? So if you throw a trick shot on him in, like, R2-D2 crew, that's what, like, less than 90 points, 73, 75 with trick shot, plus, what, 8 for R2-D2 crew?
So yeah,
83 points. That's ridiculously good for 83 points. So, I think you will see the 1300 now, and especially because it's hyperspace, right? It's hyperspace legal.
For whatever reason, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. True. It's going to be out there in force, I think, now. Both Han, Lando, and Chewie, I think all three of them are going to see places in lists. Cause they're affordable and you can build them in a lot of different ways. The cool thing about it though is, right, like, so you look at Han, and I think a lot of people have kind of found the synergy with R2-D2 crew and Lando crew. Lando, obviously you got Nian Nung there as his primary crew pairing. And you've got other options that you can pair him with. Leia crew, obviously. She's just really good everywhere now. And then Chewie is a different ship, right? Because he's built to be tanky. So you've got three completely different style ships out of the same thing, just based on the pilot that you take and the loadout that you can kind of pair them with. So
I'm glad you mentioned crew, because Rebel crew deserves a little bit of a spotlight here. Specifically, Baze Malbus dropping 5 points, C-3PO dropping 4, and really Leia Organa dropping 6. I think that they, no joke, we should probably credit the system open for... this is really good.
Leia isn't bad.
Yeah, like this is really kind of neat. Let's see if we can't figure this out. And not to mention that Leia hasn't gotten any run in X-Wing, basically. I guess a little bit in Epic, but for the most part, like, for such an iconic character, you never see her in the game, and I'm glad to see her a little bit more.
I like that the system open said everybody gets a free Leia.
Let's caveat that and go, the system open said, vote for cards, and the Empire propaganda machine made it so the Empire was going to win, and they went, panic! Give them their shitty cards for free!
Yeah,
and now you have no one to blame but yourselves for her being fine. 2 points.
That's funny. Yeah, but I think that she's interesting, too. Certainly, like, do we think, because this is one that, like, everybody's building Leia lists right now, so my question is Leia at 2 points fair, undercosted?
Maybe slightly under. Like, so, the 3 points maybe, right? But, I mean, we'll see.
Rebels, is she an extended? Or is she in hyperspace? I mean, she is.
Yes, yeah, she's
got it. Like, they have good spots for
the... Yeah. And it's once every 3 rounds, so I think she might be a point undercosted, but she's not significantly undercosted.
We all knew she was bullshit at 8, let's be real.
Yeah.
So she needed to go down significantly. Is a full 6 point decrease the significant? Well, I mean, it's definitely enough that everybody's looking at it like, hey, 2 points, that's pretty solid. I mean, at least the way I usually fly, you know, rebel lists, even, you know, primary, you know, jousting lists and stuff, the way I'm flying, you're not necessarily talon rolling and K turning like every other turn, right? So her three recharges, like her three turn recharge, that's probably about average for when I end up and feel like I'm pulling off a red move.
Yeah.
It could be that literally I never have to take a stress token if I'm flying her, right? That's
That's kind of what I was getting at, was that if it were every round, it would be ridiculously powerful. Because then we run into the 1.0 array, slooping every turn nonsense. But every three, that seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, I think they got it right in terms of their redesign for 1.0 to 2.0. Because 1.0 was just stupid. Like, one turn of that for, what, was it four points or something? That was just dumb. I mean, maybe an epic. Maybe, and no one gives a shit about epic.
So, but in extended, I think she fits really well because, like, Rebels have all the effing crew carriers that it ever want.
Oh,
In hyperspace, like, man, you take a U-Wing?
U-Wings aren't bad, though.
I think U-Wings are fine, and it's just like, wait, what is... That's... Yeah, okay, there it goes. Normally, you just be like, oh, you take TAC Officer, right? Because, like, you want that coordinate to be white. Now you actually question for that two-point slot? Yeah. Like, okay,
because I can do a white stop turn?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the rest of your list can just K-turn freely.
But. Yeah.
And that might be the argument right there for why 2 points is right, because you're staring at the TAC officer for two, and you're like, well, wait, maybe it should be Leia. You know, that's when when you're making those choices, and they're hard choices, you know you're in the right price point. Because I don't think anybody's complaining TAC officer at two is too cheap, really, because there's an opportunity cost there. You need a crew and someone with red coordinate to make it white. So, and now squad leader makes that a lot harder, you know, because you got to pay premium for squad leader. So,
all right, guys, I gotta ask the real questions, the hard hitting questions in X-Wing journalism, Scum and Villainy podcast, bringing the hard stuff. Is anyone running Luke Skywalker Gunner at 26 points?
No, like that's a legitimate thing now. Like, no, yes,
you think so?
It is.
Well, okay, but like Han went down by Lando went down by 12 points.
Okay,
like, and then Luke went down by 4. Right, like.
Suddenly we're 16 points cheaper.
Right. That's a huge amount of points cheaper. Where, like, I mean, Lando with Luke is 104 points. So I now have target lock focus and I always get to shoot you every turn. That's not bad. Like, Soontar doesn't want to deal with those odds. Right? Like, my Kylo doesn't want to deal with that shit. That seems awful.
Or Chewie with Luke?
Yeah,
just anything. Very much so. Yeah, and I mean, you could literally put it on an outer rim smuggler, right?
Yeah,
because you just rotate at the end of or the start of active or engagement, right? So you can just rotate it wherever the hell you want.
You can
guarantee a shot. So that is a little bit scary. So,
and that's why I went with Lando, right? Because he's like the offensive powerhouse of the four, right? Like, because he can have target lock focus every turn. So now you just you have 100%. You are literally an old school turret. Only you're a double action old school turret that always shoots.
And the scary thing beyond that is the gunner slot, to be completely honest, on that Falcon is the least filled. Like, there's a bunch of crew options and stuff like that, but the gunner slot, for the most part, I mean, no one's really fighting to put stuff in the gunner slot. So then you've got the Luke opportunity, you know, like you can drop him in there. So
I don't know, as at 26, like that's where we see him played, but man, is he getting close. Like we're close to hitting the panic button.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. I think he's still high enough that it's fine. I guess we'll see. And maybe someone will find something broken. But we shall see. But that is the risk. If you put the Falcon in a state like we're really trying to think about ways to kit him out and build him, and around that 100 point mark, they're pretty fair. Now you got, if you get too much lower than that and Luke Gunner is still in the spot, then you basically revert back to 1.0, and that's not where we want to be at all with a soft mod of a force token, you know, when you don't have to rotate. So.
All right. So let's, that's Rebels. Let's kind of knock out the last two factions. Not a lot to go through, between them. Let's start off with First Order. Null loses the talent, so you can't do squad leader Null anymore. Seems fine. That was probably too good. Not probably, it was definitely too good. TIE silencers lose their modification slots.
Also, the problem with Null and squad leader is how much does squad leader cost now?
How much does it cost? Do you think do you think they had the conversation? They're like, we want to do this, and they're like, how do we price Nolan? They're like, screw it, he doesn't get a talent.
No, they were like, that's how this went down.
Really? Really? I mean, like, honestly, even if the even if you could put it and they like fack it to where you have to pay the I-7 cost for it, like, there's no reason Nolan should have a talent slot. Like, Nolan is already fine as a ship at that price point, and that squad leader is so dumb. Like, I am 100% all in on having Null in the game as, like, a targeting synchronizer for SFs with missiles or something like that, to where, like, okay, I can make sure I get a target lock at 7, right? Like, cool, we're in. As free coordinate jockey to, I mean, like, the look on people's faces when they realized that they had blocked my Kylo and then I just barrel rolled off them and boosted past with Biohex from across the effing map.
Oh yeah, biohack, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, but like at I-7, like, oh, like, I got him. I did the thing. I'm just like, but
why didn't they touch biohacks? Why is that still a point?
Well, because Null is like because where it's at, I don't mind it. Like, there, it's very like niche outside of the squad leader Null, right? Like, you can put it on an Upsilon, but you have the opportunity cost of an Upsilon already, right? Like, the only one that it's scary on is Tabson. Mm-hmm. Where, like, if he takes 2 damage in a turn, he can target lock you at range 3 and then, like, jam you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, target lock an ally at range 3 that really needs something. But outside of that, I don't see it seeing much play.
All right. So talking about the silencers all went down. And they lost their mod slots, so no afterburners, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that's really what you're looking at. Now, I think that what this is mostly as a sort of to half nerf supernatural reflexes. Although blackout, like,
the others going down is like they're starting to hit points where like I would almost play them. Like, blackout and recoil are not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll note blackout went down 6 because trick shot went up.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That's why that's a bolt on. So he went down 4, really.
5. Because trick shot went up by 1.
Oh, yeah, good call. So, I mean, that's really it for first order. There's nothing else really to talk about. Let's get 2 through resistance, and we will be done. All of the Star Fortresses dropped.
By the time we get through this, you're going to have adjusted points again. So
we're only coming up on 2 hours, guys. This is not a long podcast.
Actually, all things considered, I'm proud of us. Good job. Yeah. All right, so the Star Fortresses went down. That's primarily a reaction to the trajectory going up. Right. That being said, I think that the regular squadron bomber is fine. So long as you have a cannon slot out the front. What am I missing here?
No, they have a printed front arc and then a bow tie. Arc.
Yeah, so
they have a 3 gun out the front.
That with the proton bombs, I mean, that's effectively a turret for really cheap. You can run.
Well, so the biggest thing with those Star Fortresses is they, unlike the movie, like they have a shit ton of hit points.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like they don't just blow up like 1.0 and you know.
Yeah, they don't die. Like, I've played them twice, I think, in Aces League, and in both games, they were just, like, floating around forever, and I'm just like, why won't this thing die?
Yeah. So the big change that they did was they initiative priced the BB Astromechs.
Right.
Which is cool, but man, is that shit cheap. Like, initiative.
On the low initiative, yeah.
Yeah, the low initiative, like, 1 and 2, like, that's old school flightistist. Like, I don't know how I feel about that, but...
Well, it's only 2 turns per game, so there is that.
Yep. Still, it's the 2 turns you need it on, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That seems...
It's going to be interesting, because there are lists where you can kind of put it on, like, 4 T-70s kind of thing, but I am not... Like, I'm not sure... Like, I was already thinking of different ways to put 4 T-70s into lists and stuff. I don't know. I guess I'd have to play around with it and see how it kind of works, how it feels. But the other thing, you can get those free jamming beams on all of them too. Mm-hmm. So you can get those situations where pulling reinforce and then having 3 more 3 dice guns shooting at stuff. So there might be something to it, but, yeah, it's cheap, but I see those 2 charges and I'm like, it's not every turn like old school, flight assist, but I guess it is 2 turns of inverted old school flight assist because you have to do it before you move. But
which is in some regards better, right?
Right.
So certainly, I think that the BB astromechs are going to be important. I'm excited to see more Star Fortresses just because I think it's a cool looking model. Anyway, so that's it for. Yeah, well, I mean, that's fine. You know, I like the mods that turn them into like the giant winged like bomber ships. I think those look cool. Anyway, so that's Resistance and that's the points changes. So good job for us for getting through that in what, like an hour and 15? I don't remember timing myself specifically, but we made it, guys. Congrats. All right, so let's start wrapping a bow on this thing. We'll start off with the list contest. Tyler said he wanted to see the best list before and after the points adjustments, and it had to be legal before the or basically after the points adjustment, so we can finally do it. We actually didn't record last week because we wanted to do the contest plus system open and points change.
So. Plus we were all traveling with the system open.
Yeah. So. But, you know, but whatever. Justin Brown sent in a list, and he was one of, I think, four people that, like, simultaneously submitted a builder link, right? Because I'm going to tell you guys now, I am never going to pick you if you don't give me a link. And only submitted one, and also most people ended up failing the last part, which was the points adjustment screwed their lists up. So Justin Brown,
because we opened a number of them, and it was like 201. Oh, sorry, man.
So close. So his was Captain Kagi with Seventh Sister, Soontir Felt.
By the way. By the way, to all the listeners that are mad that we invalidated your list because the points changed, send your complaints to the Scum and Villainy podcast.
Wait, okay, yeah, fine. all right, so Soontir Fell with Predator and Shield Upgrade, Duchess with Predator and Wampa. So, you know, this is a completely prominent list. You can fly it, and I mean, it won't be bad, so... you win, Justin Brown, so hit us up and we'll get you some sort of prize. We'll figure it out. We'll get you an expansion of some variety. Let's do our next contest. I actually have one that I want to do. A lot of people have been talking about Scum and Hyperspace being a barren wasteland now that Boba Fett's gone, and I want to see what people have to say about that. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's necessarily there. So, Tyler's like, give me your favorite Scum hyperspace, and we'll go through some of those. Kind of talk about, yeah, you're crazy. We actually think that certainly mining ties alone make them worthwhile. So go ahead and send us your best hyperspace Scum list, and we'll give you a prize. Let's wrap a bow on this thing, guys. Let's go through. Alex, do you have any shout outs you want to give before we end this?
To me first, like, what is this?
I'm going from the chat top to bottom, right? I have to
alphabetical screwed you.
You're the one who chose anti-grapist, right? Come on, man.
I want to shout out M. Whited. He's a user. He's on the Vassal League chat. He's been helping me out with some List Fortress improvements. So shout outs to him.
Shout out to you for doing List Fortress, my man. And if you want to be a Scum and Villainy Patreon, you support List Fortress if you want to continue Alex's great work. So feel free to do that, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Alex, you've been playing any, I've been asking this recently, cause I think it's interesting. You've been playing any games other than X-Wing that you want to talk about?
I've been playing some Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Excited about they just announced some point changes.
What deck do you run?
I have been running some Even Paladin.
Nice. I always like to run, Zoo Shamans. Just like a whole bunch of cheap ass dudes. All right, cool.
Turn kill mage.
All right, so I'll go next. I have, hold on, do I have anybody to shout out? Shout out to, I don't know, Kansas City X-Wing scene. We are doing another X-Wing League. That'll be cool. I don't know. Not much to shout out at the moment. I'm probably going to forget somebody, so that's awful. I've been playing, the game I've been playing recently is I am picking up 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons again. I know like 7,000 people cried out in terror, but I'm playing a superhero.
I was one of them.
Yeah.
As they should.
I am, okay, like I'm playing a superhero-themed 4th edition game. I'm running it, and it's super fun. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Look, 4th edition is a nice miniatures game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm just, whatever, guys. I love 4th edition. 4E, forever. there are dozens of us who love it. Dozens!
Kevin Lund's Patreon. But, Ricky, real talk for a second. We're gonna take a slight aside here. Have you ever played the Diceless Marvel superhero game?
Yeah, dude, I have. So,
yeah, it's great. Why would you just not do that instead?
I don't know.
That seems right up your alley.
People wanted to run D&D. I gave them here's the thing, right? I have a campaign. Whenever I'm going to run a game, right, I give people a list of campaigns that I would be willing to run for them. And one of them was a crossover of the Bane Warrens, which is set in Tolis. And I said this is going to be a superhero game, and it's going to be in 4th edition, because 4th edition, you feel like a goddamn superhero, right? You don't even feel like a D&D character. You feel like a superhero. Yeah. So, and that was the one they chose, right? I didn't pick that. They picked it. All of the other ones were going to be 13th Age or 5th edition, and the players chose it. They willingly walked into 4th edition. So do not blame me. Blame
the
players.
I'm just saying, if you were going to offer up a superhero game, I just don't know why you wouldn't use the Diceless Marvel.
Man, we should do that sometimes.
I'm 100% in, man. I have some great Diceless Marvel. My best Diceless Marvel character was a blind and deaf TK character. I used all the sonar rules. So like Daredevil's like sonar hearing, right?
Yes.
But it was pure TK. Like, so I was TK feeling instead of sound.
We could probably figure this out with Roll 20. Oh my God.
How do you not, like, do you even need Roll 20? We just need Skype. Like,
man, this is
right. You come to I bid 3, like, okay, we don't need any dice.
You've got me deep diving this shit now. All right. So we're going to table that, but, if you're a patron and you want to do, like a 1-4 shot of this hole in the wall Marvel Diceless RPG, which I think is actually great. Tyler and I are down. Yeah. All right. Anyways, so I'll move on to Sable next. You're in like a partial timeout Tippett for getting me off track. Sable, do you got any shout outs?
Yeah. So I wanted to give a shout out to my local game store, Common Ground Games. Mm-hmm. They're a really good local store, very friendly owner, very LGBT friendly. They mm-hmm. set out to make a welcoming environment for all players, not mm-hmm. just the traditional white males. So mm-hmm. it's a store that has really kind of developed a lot of loyalty with me because of how they've interacted with the community and how they've been both welcoming and encouraging of gaming as a hobby.
Right. You know, if the hobby is going to survive and make more money, it needs more players. Exactly. I mean, that's business. Also the right thing to do, but also business. So why not both? You've been playing any games recently that you want to talk about?
I have. The one I want to talk about is Betrayal Legacy. So most people have either played or heard of Betrayal mm-hmm. at the House on the Hill, which mm-hmm. is kind of a horror-themed exploration game. Mm-hmm. They recently came out with a legacy game.
What?
A legacy means...
You have me intrigued.
Yes. Every game adds new cards, new rules, new tiles, new stuff to the game based on which game that you played and what the results were, because there are branching paths.
Oh my. So I literally just showed people last weekend Betrayal in the House on the Hill and had like two of them go buy it.
Yeah. So Betrayal Legacy, it's, there's a prologue and then 13 chapters. So you're getting 14 games out of it. And each, we're about five games in and it's already, very interesting. And I'm not a big fan of the original. I'm not a huge
Betrayal one. Thank God. I was about to jump on that.
I hate that game.
I hate Betrayal.
Really?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So Legacy sounds cool because there might actually, you might actually develop a strategy. Mm-hmm. The thing I hate about Betrayal is half of the game you are spent waiting for the game to start, right? You
do playing with good Betrayal players then, but that's fine.
But you know what I'm saying?
Like, playing with fourth edition players. So.
Okay. Hold on. Right? So I get your point, Tyler, that you can go explore, you can go and collect items. That's what you should be doing. But you still don't know what the win condition is. You're just sort of like waiting for the game to start for half the game.
Hold on. You're still shitting yourself. Like, this is what I'm talking about. You understand that you can like fight other players and do things before the traitor happens, right? Like,
yeah, but you don't know if they're going to be on your side or not.
So, yes, well, I agree. But you know whose side's for sure going to be on your side is you, so you can be positioning yourself.
One of the interesting things about the Legacy game is that you can make items heirlooms.
Uh-huh.
So an item, if it can be an heirloom item and nobody else has made it an heirloom, you can put your family's crest on it, and anytime you have it, it has a special bonus effect for you.
That's cool. So I definitely can see the Legacy setting and like that setup for a board game improving my issues with the game.
It's really good.
Man, now I'm excited. So the other side I will say real quick is like with just stock Betrayal is that I use that as like one of my gateway board games for new players that have not played.
I can totally see that.
Because it's very easy, right? Like you have four stats and that's just the dice you roll. Like it's, and I can sit down with four new players and me and the game is fun and engaging and everyone knows what's going on. Like, so that's the other side of
Sure.
All right. So Tyler, what shout outs do you got?
I have two. So first, just like everybody that was Arizona, it was great to, you know, made some new friends, I guess. Got to hang out with a bunch of old friends as well, you know, getting to see everybody all in one spot, which is always awesome. That's my favorite part of X-Wing. Like that to me is way more important than actually like sitting down and playing tournament level games. Cause more often than not, that's not as fun for me, but like getting to hang out with everybody and, you know, just shoot the shit and all that kind of stuff. That's what I enjoy. So that was really cool. And then a friend of the show, well, it's going to be done by the time this actually gets out there, but it was Zach's birthday. So happy birthday, Zach.
Yeah, man. Everybody loves Zach. The Zach Matthews, Carolina Crates podcast, and a whole bunch of other titles.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Zach. International super wizard of knowledge.
I think I'm challenging him in that. And I initially thought it was Star Wars lore. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to nail this. Like, I know a ton of Star Wars lore. And then I guess it's X-Wing lore. And I don't know anything about that. So that's going to go poorly for good old Tiberius.
How much lore does that old video game have?
Right. All right. So what games have you been playing, Tyler?
Travel, the game.
Okay.
So my
the TSA game.
Yeah. You know what? All right. This is another slide aside. So the government was shut down on Friday when I flew out, and all the TSA agents at O'Hare were like super chill and really cool. Like I was going through and, you know, they're like, take all your crap out. And I was like, hey, I've got a switch. And the guy's like, just leave it in there. It's fine. And I was like, oh, I didn't get my liquids out. And he's like, are they in a bag? And I was like, yeah. He's like, they're fine. No worries. Right. Everything. Like, cause I mean, like that's the chill way they would normally be. Like O'Hare is generally pretty good. And then I'm in Arizona and they get funded. So I'm leaving on like, now they're funded. They know they're getting their paychecks or whatnot. And I get there and they're like straight back to being assholes. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You should just be like, yeah, everyone's getting money again. Everything's great. So damn it, TSA. but no, like I, so lat, so the weekend before Arizona, I had a co-ed, indoor volleyball game. It was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So I played a tournament, and the way these tournaments work is you have a team cost and then you get wristbands and it's all you can drink So they have like Bud Light and Shock Top and like Limerita cans and that kind of stuff. So you just get like all the free booze you want while playing. And we made it to the semifinals and lost in the semifinals when it was 1 a.m. Like we got there at 4 p.m. Well, yeah, we got there at 4 p.m. and we were like, well, so, but I mean, it's like we get that win and then we play one more game and then we win like these nice fleeces and like entry to the next tournament or stuff like that. And I like, I saw the switch happen. Like we were just, we were playing really well. And then we get into our last game where we end up losing. And the way our rotation works, I sit out first and, like I'm watching my team and everyone's legs just go. And I was like, oh, they all need to go to sleep. That's what happened. All right, cool. So that's what I've been doing.
That their endurance bar hit zero.
Yeah. I mean, like shockingly hit zero. Like two of my friends that are on the team are very, very good volleyball players. They like swing very hard. Like it's hard to explain this to non-volleyball people, but like, three possessions in a row, just like straight into the middle of the net. Like, not like almost got over the net where these guys, like guy and girl are both swinging well above the net normally. It was just like into the middle. And I was like, oh damn. Okay.
All right. So Will, any shout outs?
Yeah. Give a shout out to the Bloomington crew. We had the Wave 1 championship this past weekend while you guys were kicking ass in Arizona. So Johannes Stieber.
While Blair was kicking ass. A lot
okay,
of us were
just there. That's fair. Johannes ran a pretty smooth event and fun games. So that was always fun.
And you won that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And
you,
I was
you
the.
Snuck the win while everybody was gone.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I'm the only person who was running then. What is still a legal list now?
There you go.
Everyone else is like I think Stewart's list. I think Stewart's list is like 242 points or some shit because he was running double Punisher with trajectory and all sorts of crap. But yeah, then my other shout out is to Blair, the god, for kicking ass in Arizona. So I'll be giving your templates a nice home and putting them on the table and making them do work, man. So.
Nice. All right. What video games you've been playing? Not necessarily, but what games you've been playing other than the next one?
I actually, finished, Alien Isolation right before we casted.
Nice.
So, if anyone is interested, that game's pretty intense and it's great for any fan of the Alien series. And, so now I can actually finally get, Ace Combat 7 in my PS4 since I didn't want to start that without finishing this. So.
Right on. All right. Well, cool. So let's go ahead and do this for Alex Robeck, better known as NT Grapist, for Sable Griffin, for Mark Fletcher, better known as Sable Griffin, and for Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, and Will Barnacle, better known as misspelled Will Barnacle. I'm Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Fellas, thanks for coming on Galactic Colonet. Thanks for good hunting. Blah, 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 blah. We're done. Hooray.
Ooh.
Cute little robo recorder bear thing.